disasters and emergencies happen to good people like you every day. The frequency of these events are increasing at an astonishing rate. Now is the time to take responsibility for preparing and empowering yourself for the inevitable. Welcome to the Survive University Podcast, where we provide an education in preparation, giving you the tools to get ready, be ready, and stay ready. Now, let's get on with today's lesson.
Listen up, my preps. Welcome to another episode of the Survive University Podcast, where we discuss research-based solutions focused on preparation for protecting your life and your health during an emergency or disaster. Our topics cover all things survival as we discuss with industry professionals on how to help you triumph over the toughest times in your life. I'm your host, Hakeem Isler, with co-host Maine J, the OG, aka the Ordinary Guy. On today's episode, with the author, martial arts pioneer, and father of American ninjutsu in the West, my friend and teacher for over 20 years, Stephen K. Hayes. We're going to be talking about Sanmitsu, this idea of thought, word, and deed. How can you master and control your life by using these three principles? Now turn on your ears and put on your thinking caps. Class is in session. Okay, so Stephen, it's great to have you on Survive University Podcast with us again today. And today I wanted to talk about this idea of Sanmitsu, this idea of thought, word, deed. I think that is very huge in today's time. There's a lot of cliche out there where people are just saying they're taking kind of these old ideas and like bringing them forward and naming them new stuff and creating their own systems. And so I thought it would be really great to have you on so that you can talk to our listeners about it and let us know from a historical perspective. I mean, you've done so much. You've spent so many years traveling around the world to gain knowledge from ancient lineages. Can you tell us a little bit about what this is and why it's important?
Well, you know, when I was in Japan, studying this ninja martial art, I came in contact with a lot of the cultural feudal Japanese days back in the 1400s, something like that. And of course, a lot of that culture came from Buddhism, and maybe just the way that maybe knights in Europe would have gotten a lot of their like moral background, why we're doing this, from Christianity. It came from Buddhism. But the wonderful thing about Buddhism is, as I mentioned before, you don't have to believe in anything, and this stuff still works. It's a mind science system of worship and reverence. So this Sanmitsu, the three secrets, was also a part of this Buddhist heritage. Briefly, it works that, we are trying to become awakened ones. That's what Buddha means, awakened one. I get it. I see how a lot of what I've been doing are mind tricks. A lot of what culture is are mind tricks. And you see through all of that and really get what it means to be a human being on the planet, in this age, in this culture. And so the three secrets were, if you think like an enlightened person and you speak like an enlightened person and you act like an enlightened person, maybe you're an enlightened person. This is reflected in the funny saying, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, flies like a duck, must be a duck. But in a serious vein, those three aspects create our experience of life. I was going to say karma, but that's, we'd have to go into a lot of explanation of what that really means. But it's my experience of life and what I'm going to experience in the future really relates to how I coordinate these three secrets, the three aspects.
Mm. So for like an average person, average Joe, how would they be able to take command of their life by using this? Like, how does it apply to that person? So a person listening to this will say, okay, that sounds great, but how do I use that to empower myself?
Yeah, I mean, this is a very reasonable question. I could see people studying this as some esoteric theory, but not living it. No, you gotta live it. And I think probably the most obvious one would be where somebody is always saying something. Oh, here's what I believe. Here's what I do. Here's what I subscribe to. But you look at their life and they're not living that way. So you're out of whack. You got to change something. Either change what you're saying to reflect what you really do, or change what you're doing to reflect what you say. But that would be a very simple thing. Somebody said, well, I'm a truth teller. I tell people what I think no matter what. And they just got to, if they can't stand the truth, well, then I lose them as a friend. And we watch the way they act and they're not a truth teller. You know, they're buttering this person up or they're covering up for themselves or what. Hey, come on. Either start telling the truth or change. Just say, nah, I tell the truth when I can, but sometimes I'm pressured and I don't always tell the truth.
Do you think this is going to reinforce, I guess, the self-fulfilling prophecy, the theory of that if I say the truth about myself and the truth about myself is negative, don't you think that will perpetuate me to continue moving in a negative direction?
Oh, no. It's the only way you're going to gain the impetus to make a change. See, if I insist I'm a truth teller. Yeah, I always tell the truth. And then somebody points out, yeah, but you didn't tell the truth here. And you said to her what she wanted to hear, not what the truth was. This is jarring. I have to admit, I might get angry. But then late at night thinking about it. No, he said the truth. That's the only way I'm going to find the impetus to make a change. If I do this, but say this and continue on with that, I'm happy, I'm content. I'm confused, but I'm happy, I'm content. I'm not going to find a need to change.
Wow. You know, there's two experiences in my life, but one is a really funny one. I think I should just throw it out there. I tell this story often. So I remember it was this young lady I was very, very into when I lived in New Jersey, and I just wanted to take her out on a date, but I didn't have enough courage to really ask her. And so I finally got to a point where I did ask her for her number. And that first day I was going to call her up, earlier that day, my mom and I got into this argument. And it was because I was supposed to give her money to pay for my car payment. And every month she always had to chase me down and ask me for this money. So she was like, you're an adult. I shouldn't have to chase you down. You should just come here. We got really frustrated. So then I left the argument. I called this young lady up and she could sense that I was frustrated. So she says, well, why does it sound like you're a little upset? I was like, oh man, you know, I got into this argument with my mom and she keeps bothering me and about giving her this payment. I keep telling her, I live with you. I'm going to pay you. I'm not going anywhere. You know, what's the problem? And that young lady looks at me and she had lost her parents and was living with her sister, who was only a few years older than her, who had gotten custody. So they were like really surviving on their own. And she said, yeah, she said, I totally agree with your mom. You're an adult. Why does she have to chase you down to ask you for this money? And it comes every month at the exact same time. She was like, don't you think she has a lot on her plate? And I was like, oh, I can hear her calling me now. I get off the phone. I never talk to her again. The truth kicked my butt so much that I didn't want to deal with it anymore.
I think that goes back to Maine's question. Wow, if nobody calls me on this stuff, I'm never going to change. I'm going to feel righteous, and I think that's it.
You know, you her loss.
Still remember the story, and maybe that's what you needed to hear at that time in your life.
It changed me. I mean, I'm still here. I am all these years later, and it still sits with me because it was so powerful. And when I finally did get it, you know, I was just like, whoa. But in that moment, my ego, whatever it was, I didn't want to hear it. And it held me back. It created a lot of conflict with me and my mom. It lost me a possibility of having a beautiful relationship with this person because the truth was too much. The words were too much.
And they had meaning. And actually, this brings us to our next question. Why do you think people struggle with controlling their thoughts? I mean, even if they're negative thoughts about them or positive, keeping positive thoughts about themselves, why do you think people struggle with that trying to make sure that they can maintain a balance?
Well, I think you have to look at kind of the history of thinking, because we're going to examine even how we think. And so much of who we are is a reflection of where we've been. I grew up with these parents. I grew up in this socioeconomic household. I grew up in this community. I grew up in this culture. So therefore, I think this way, and I never stop to examine, well, have I outgrown that? Have I outgrown that thinking? And so we have like political preferences, economic beliefs, religious beliefs, social beliefs about other people that we just inherited, and we never question that. And then things happen in life that, you know, like I was in a dark house and lightning hits and I see everything and then I don't see anything, you know, something like that happens in our life. And oh, we realize, you know, hey, I'm just programmed. I could be different. And that either encourages us to sneak a little forward and start to question some of these things. Why did my parents believe this? Why did my grandparents believe this? And my parents inherited this. Is it still valid in today? Or it shocks us and we pull back and we're even stronger in our beliefs as a defense against having to change. Change is terrifying to people. I think it's so funny. I talk to so many people. Well, I'd like to have a little more money. I'd like to be a little happier. I'd like to be a little thinner. Maybe have a job that I really love with a good boss. I'd like to have kids that would kind of obey me. All these things I'd love to have different, but I don't want to change. How are you going to do that? How are you going to get all that stuff without changing? And yet the idea of being a completely different person, terrifying to people. So that's a frame of mind.
Hey guys, there is a lot of information in this podcast episode, as well as all of our other episodes. We distilled down some of the greatest lessons from all of our episodes that we share with you. You'll find that information on our Patreon account, where we would like to invite you to come over for $4 a month. You can join our Patreon account. You can help support us, keep us doing this good work, and then also learn some valuable skills. If you're looking to get more education, get into some courses, join us at our SurviveUniversity.com website. Again, that's SurviveUniversity.com, where you can gain the knowledge that you need to really grow your survival expertise.
Walk me through the process. I decided I want to make a change. How do I start the process?
Oh, you know, I would say if we were going to continue on with this, the first start would be when you get up in the morning, before the feet hit the floor, grin and think, I'm going to have an experience sometime today that's going to allow me to examine how I talk or how I think or how I act. I'm going to have some experience that's going to allow me to question this in a gentle way. I'm going to make a little change. If you start each day that way, a little tiny change. It might be, oh, I'm young and I'm always waiting, you know, old people. And so my habit is to say, when they say thank you, I go, no problem. But that infuriates old people. So when I talk to old people, I'm going to say, oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Doesn't matter about me. I'm fitting into what they're, I'm making a little change, make them a little happier, make them a tiny little thing like that. Or, you know, I make up my mind, you know, when somebody accuses me of something that I'm a little uncomfortable with, instead of jumping in with a defense, here's why I did this. And here's, I believe this, you know, instead of jumping in with a defense, I'm going to lean my head back a little bit and go, oh, you know, and then they have to talk after I go, oh, so a little there might be some small change you make in your appearance. Now you have to be really careful with that. So for me, I never go out without my logo on. I never go out. And I tell this to all the Quest Center operators. I never go out without my logo on. And they go, oh, okay. And they wear Nike or whatever. Are you Mr. Nike? Is that what you do for a living? You know, are you Mr. Dolce and Gabbana? Is that what you do? No, you have a quest center. Wear the quest center logo. Oh, I never thought of that. I've only demoed it for 41 years. You know, I mean, people resist. So a little thing, maybe just a little tiny thing when you get up in the morning.
Okay. So as being your student for all these years, you know, one of the things that I've been doing or that I do in the morning is when I walk, I recite these guiding principles that we have. See things the way they really are. Think the right thoughts, say the right words, take the right action, live the right way, move with initiative and courage, you know, see the value in every moment and stay center. So I go through this process of saying that. And I say that because I have personally seen that because I think that and I say those words in the morning, that it tends to inform and influence my personal life. I had a friend of mine say to me just the other day, man, whenever you go away, I went on a trip and I came back and I was really, really excited. And I was talking about my affirmations. He was like, whenever you go away and you come back, you're even more weirder. You're always hugging people and you're telling them how much you care and, you know, and all this other stuff. And I was like, well, that's a good weird, right? And he was like, I guess, you know, but very, very interesting. And so right now we're in a very, like you said, in our first interview, we're in a dark time. You know, I spent a lot of time telling people or talking to people who are telling themselves these stories about how horrible they are, about how unsuccessful they are, how bad they look, or how their life doesn't match up. And it seems like it is a task. It is an overwhelming task to get people to recognize that maybe, just maybe, the reason that that's happening in their life is because they think that way, they're speaking that way, and they're going to McDonald's every day, you know, or they're existing around people who also think and speak that way. So those are the actions that they're taking. And why do you think it's so hard to get people to break free from that?
Well, you know, it kind of goes back to our worldview. There's material reality in the Japanese culture. This is called chi, the earth influence. And then there's a heaven influence, ten. And the human being is where heaven and earth meet. And that's jin, where there's inspiration. Animals wouldn't have that kind of inspiration. A human has that kind of inspiration. But they're also physical being. And we can get out of whack. We can become so tuned into the physical reality. And that pulls us down and apart, down and apart. And that's the nature of human existence. Nature of human existence is to find those negative things. When we were cave people, you know, you had to look for tracks. Oh, saber-toothed tiger came through here. Let's be careful. You had to constantly look for the negative to survive. And that exists even today in relative safety. Most of us in relative safety, we're looking for the negative things, negative stuff. You're driving the car and somebody stops short and motions you in and you can like turn and go in and get in where you were going. Oh, hey, thank you so much. You know, you remember it for a few minutes, but you forget it. But if somebody like scooches up and gives you the finger and oh, you go to work and you tell everybody about that. I had this jerk who cut me off. And maybe a day later, you're still a little bit angry. Here's what I should have done. The negative gets our attention. And so therefore, we're pulled negative, and it's a constant reminder. It's a constant effort to be positive, a constant effort to improve yourself. And so that's why I say, you know, and I was talking to Maine earlier, when your feet hit the floor, grin. Hey, have fun with this. Have fun with this. There may be a day when you don't change anything. Oh man, I just barely got out of there without my rear end chewed off. And you can smile at the end of that. Is, oh, didn't get anything done today, but at least I'm here. I'm still above ground. You know, just have some fun with it to counter the heavy negative stuff. Here's why I'm mentally depressed. Here's why I'm financially depressed. These people have it against me, and then these people are just trying to butter me up so they can use me. And that there's such a proclivity for finding this negative stuff. Whew, we need to just relax and have a little fun with it and say, even if we're caught in that, even if we catch ourselves in that, oh, there we go again. Remember, I made myself a promise on my walks that I wasn't going to do that. Fell for it again. How easy that is. Smile. I'll do better tomorrow.
Well, to value your time, we got two more questions and then that's it. What do you got?
Actually, I can't contain it to two questions, but I will say this. Okay, so we talked about, and I'm absorbing it because confession moment, I think I am one of those individuals. I always labeled myself as a New Yorker. So, you know, we always got to be on guard. We're always thinking the negative things. We're always watching things. But as I've gotten older, I've recognized that it has nothing to do with where I was raised or, you know, the hardships that I experienced growing up. It's just a perception that I've adopted. And for a long period of time, it's allowed me to survive. Because I've been in that survival mode. But as you get older and you have less energy or you have more responsibilities, you can't have that, always have that fight or flight response, which, you know, fighting to, and when I say fighting, I don't mean physical fighting, but just fighting the obstacles that you deal with to get a successful outcome. You almost have to outsmart them. And what I'm learning from you is that you have to do it from a positive perspective, because even though you're dealing with the negativity all the time, having a positive perspective not only helps you get there in the long term, it's healthier.
I think so. And if you come from a rough background, rough place to grow up, relatives, a rough background, you could like twist that around with this Sanmitsu and say, hey, I was so blessed. Boom. It really, I mean, I had a rough upbringing and that motivated me. I'm not going to live my whole life that way. If I had been taken care of and like pampered, I maybe would never have dreamed of changing. How lucky I am. How lucky I am. And, you know, because you did survive. You're doing well now. Far out, far out. It didn't get you down. It motivated you to see the bigger picture. Maybe a different way to look at a rough upbringing.
Knowledge bombs. We tend to drop them a lot around here, and we appreciate your feedback and support for the information, interviews, and perspectives shared. Become a Patreon supporter for Survive University and get additional exclusive content not shared during the podcast. Patreon subscribers also get information on other Survive University products and projects before they're released to the public. So visit patreon.com/Survive University and join us as we continue on this journey to get ready, be ready, and stay ready like never before.
So we're pretty much the center of the Sanmitsu, where we are, it can go either way. And so really it's about realizing that you are in control, your thoughts, words, and deeds, because so many people want to pawn off the reason I talk this way, the reason I act this way, the reason I feel this way, is because of this person, that person, this situation, that thing, mm-hmm. blase, blase. But they are not taking the personal responsibility for doing what is necessary, doing the hard work, right? Doing the, or good work.
Yeah, I remember when I was a child, my father told me one time, he said, ultimately in life, there's only one person looking out for you. He said, you, God, I hated that. I didn't like that as a child. Well, you're my dad. You know, you care about me and mom cares about me. And no, ultimately only one person looking out for you, and that's you. And as the older I got, the more I understood and agreed with him. So therefore, I'm going to do what's best for me. I may lose friends, you know. Like you said, Hakeem, people say, oh, you come back weirder every time, you know, and if they're making a joke about it, that's okay. But if they're serious, time for some new friends. I just got to move on. I've got to surround myself with higher thinking individuals, because I'm the only one looking out for me, and I'm going to do the things that I need to do to better myself, be stronger, and therefore more value to other people. I can help them more. I can teach them better. I can provide a better example. And life is just more fun. Life is more fun when we're winning. And even if we're not winning, if we have the right attitude, is it? I was sued by some silly guy some years ago who had the preposterous lawsuit. And I was kind of grumbling about this, you know. This Tibetan monk friend of mine said, oh, he says, I got swindled out of $2,000 on a computer deal one time. I'm thinking, who's going to swindle a Tibetan monk out? Yeah. And he said, you pay that much money, you better learn a big lesson. And so I changed my attitude toward this lawsuit. I'm learning. Yeah. I've never been sued. I'm learning how this works and how I fit in. And, you know, it became an intriguing adventure. Wow. Just the change in attitude, how we're looking at even terrible things.
I want to say this because I know we want to value your time. Our first meeting, we spoke about the elements and your history with ninjutsu. And this one, you're giving us a lesson on perception. Both things really don't have anything to do with martial arts per se, but just the base of how to understand yourself moving forward, which is truly integral for surviving. I hope that we extend an opportunity to have an opportunity to speak with you again. You'll give us more time because I have a lot more questions to ask. But in effort to respect your time, I want to say thank you, sir. It's been great. I will go back. I know we produce these and we put these out for the public, but I will go back and listen because I already found a couple gems that I want to further research, even if positive. I don't want to say affirmations because that's very cliche, but the positive statements that you say to yourself in the morning, putting a smile on my face, which is something I have to admit I don't do, but I will begin to do small steps and moving forward. But I want to thank you again for joining us today. And hopefully you'll come back if invited.
Oh, I'd be delighted to come back. So much stuff we can handle as it relates to survival. There's a lot more than a wiki up shelter and how to make a fire. How do you survive in a okay existence? How can I make life better, even if it's something like smiling a little more? You know, I smile a lot, and people just smile back in response. They don't even know me. And brought a little teeny brightness to that person's life today. And constantly reevaluating. So, hey, I salute both of you guys. You are doing good work in the world. You are doing really good work. This is important, this podcast. And again, I'd be delighted to come back and share some more if your listeners and viewers feel it's of value.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Stephen. Longtime friend and teacher, and we will definitely have you back. We appreciate you. Have a blessed day and continue to make magic in the world.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
You have a great day.
All right, my preps, that's our episode for today. Thank you for listening and building your education in preparation with our special guest, Stephen K. Hayes. You can find out more about him at stephenkhayes.com. Please remember, real survival is not about what you can do as an individual, but when you are empowering those around you. Due to this, we ask that you share our podcast with your friends, and we always appreciate a review. In addition, if you are looking for training in the field as it relates to preparation, you can join one of our courses on SurviveUniversity.com, or you can also find out more about us and learn special skills on our Patreon account. Remember, our focus is to get you ready so that you can be ready and stay ready.